We were talking about the beast and the false prophet, right? And so that's in chapter 13. I'll be back in just a moment. I need to go get something. We see this one that comes up out of the sea in verse 1. And he takes on the appearance that's much like the appearance we see of Satan. So this would be, as we see the Antichrist. He has the seven heads, 10 horns. And on his horns, 10 crowns. And on the heads, blasphemous names. And he's got that one head that had the deadly wound and was healed. And again, I believe that's going to be like some kind of a false miracle that's similar to that of Jesus' resurrection. Again, the idea of Antichrist means like other than. And so he's going to be like some kind of a deception that Satan throws out there, a counterfeit. Do you ever notice Satan doesn't invent nothing? You know, he can't create anything. He's a created being, so he's limited and what he can do, but boy, he sure distorts and counterfeits everything. He tries to make everything look like that of God. If you remember back the judgments in Egypt, you remember the magicians could do things that were somewhat similar, but never as good, never as strong. Because like Moses dropped the staff on the ground, right? Moses and Aaron, and that staff became a snake. And if you remember, they had the magicians come out, and they could do something similar. They made snakes, but if you remember, Aaron's staff, as it's called later on, actually swallowed them up. Okay, and so it's just showing, you know, that there's a limited amount of power that Satan can use to make counterfeit miracles, but ultimately, they're never as powerful as God's miracles. And so that's an important thing for us to understand. Same way here. So we're up to verse 11 then, and we saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Okay, so this is another beast that's like the false prophet. He's going to be pointing toward that first beast and calling everybody to worship him, as we see. But if you notice something about that, and he doesn't look quite as strong, does he? He has 2 horns, like a lamb. Why do you think that is? He's got 2 horns like a lamb, but yet he speaks like a dragon. He's got like you kind of get the idea that he's going to be deceptively gentle. Don't you think? You know, he doesn't look all that dangerous. Is kind of what we're getting the idea of, but he still speaks like a dragon, so he's still from the same spirit, right? And so his power is in his deception. His power is in being deceptively gentle. And so he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That's the reason why whenever you read that verse, that kind of gives you the idea that deadly wound does represent a deadly wound on an individual where they came back. And so I think that kind of disproves some people's idea that deadly wound was actually on a nation. I think it's actually on a person. And that is causing people to worship that person. And this false prophet's going to come along and say, look, he was once dead, but now he's healed. You need to worship him, right? And this one is deceptively gentle. And so he's out there causing the world to go after this first beast with the many heads, the great power. So in verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. And there again, we see that terminology, which he was granted to do. It still shows God's sovereignty over the entire thing. The only reason why he's allowing this is because it's working toward his end and toward his goal. The only reason why Satan exists today is not because he's even close to being powerful enough to exist in his own authority. It's because God allows him to. He's still using him in his plan. And so here we see that that these false miracles and these signs, they're going to be done as deception. And he's allowed to do them in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So it's causing a great idolatry to be poured out. And again, Jesus warned us that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. So like this deception is going to look so real that anybody with their natural eyes is going to believe this thing. And it's only what would make it possible that the elect wouldn't be deceived by that? Holy Spirit living in them. And so we really have to live by the Spirit, not by the flesh, right? Sister? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit in us, helping us to understand the Word, so that whenever we see things that are consistent with the devil's schemes, and we can tell that it's just not right, that we follow the Holy Spirit in us and not be listening to the rest of the world. Because I'm going to tell you, the rest of the world's saying all kinds of stuff that isn't consistent with this Word. And man, they can sound really convincing. They can even get pretty angry about it and upset, you know. They call us bigots and everything else if we don't go along with it. Say that we're hateful and all this and that and the other. And it's happening worldwide and Christians are being persecuted all over for following this. But you know what keeps us following it? It's because we know by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, this is the truth and it's our only way. It's our only hope is to stay close to Jesus, right? If we deny Jesus, what's he going to do? Deny us in heaven before his Father. We don't want that. If you listen to a persecuted Christian who's willing to be martyred for the faith, why? Because they'll say, I don't want him to deny me whenever I stand before the Father, and when I stand before him in heaven. And so again, it's through that same Holy Spirit that lives in them that lives in us. Yeah, you're right. And if you go back just a few verses into chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. You know, that is such a statement. I've got that underlined in my Bible, and I go back and read that often, because we got to love Jesus more than our own life, right? We got to love God more than our own life. And if we get that part straight, we're invincible. Devil can't do anything to us, because I'll tell you, the worst thing he can do is torture you and take your life. At that, he can't do anymore. Once you're dead, you're in God's hands, and he can't touch you again. And so, like, if that's the worst thing he can do to us, we're going to be okay if we're not fearful of that. We can move forward, and we can move forward fearlessly, you know. And, of course, fearless doesn't mean that we don't feel a tinge of the fear. It's just that we overcome it with the truth. And we move on. We don't let it change our course. And so it is very important for us to live by this so that we won't be deceived by all this other nonsense that goes on in the world. And here, this is going to be a great deception. And in verse 15, it says, he was granted, the same one was granted, power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. The number is 666. 666. And this always brings up a lot of interesting discussion, because there's been a lot of different world leaders who seem very evil, and people have tried to devise by counting the numbers of their particular alphabet and the system and who would have fit into this category. And I've heard so many different theories on this. I would at least say I don't believe that this Antichrist has come yet. Okay, I believe it's going to be in the latter half of the tribulation period, as we're reading. I believe that is somewhat to be taken literally, even though this is imagery, stuff that we're seeing here. I believe these are literal verses about the timeline. These are literal verses telling us about how this thing's going to play out. I believe there's going to be literal false miracles, and I believe this is a literal person, and that this is going to be a literal mark. No, I don't think it's credit cards. Although credit cards are evil. Yeah. Could it be a computer chip embedded in us somewhere? I don't know. But I believe that it will definitely be the mark of man, which is imperfection, which is man's wisdom and man's way of doing things. Man's knowledge is an affront to God if it's not in godly wisdom. You understand what I'm saying? Like whenever we look at Romans 1, what does that talk about? It talks about, man following his own wisdom rather than God's wisdom that he knows to be true, and suppressing that truth. And so this is going to be a part of that system that's going to come out during this last 3.5 year period. And would I avoid getting a mark on my body just to do commerce? I probably would. I know a lot of people say, well, I'll just always deal in cash. And I guess maybe that would be one way to kind of deal with never receiving a mark. But in this day and age, it's getting kind of tough to do that in all the different avenues. Even stuff we order for the church, we have to order online. You can't do that with cash. So, there's different things that have to be done. But yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we see that this is also, this is not subtle either. It's in conjunction with the worship of this image that has been used in this false miracle that, and so anybody that won't worship that image, they are threatened with death if they won't do it. And it's carried out on them, I believe, during this time. And during the same time period, then, they're going to be told, okay, well, if you don't take the mark of this beast, then you can't even buy food. You can't do any kind of business. And if anybody does any business with you, we can kind of see it played out similar to this in countries like North Korea, which is, I think, like small measure sort of what this is going to be worldwide. Okay? If you don't worship their emperor over there, you're tortured and eventually killed. They say that their leader is God. And if you don't worship him as God, have his picture up in your house, if they kick in your door to find out, you're going away with them. You are going to be killed one way or another, unless God just miraculously intervenes. And they have set up a complete false worship system. We kind of talked about this whenever we were talking about the different cults and whatnot, that in that false worship system, the original one set himself up as the Father, and his wife up as the Holy Spirit, and his son up as the Son in the Trinity, and set up his own false Trinity. And to do this deception, he couldn't have Bibles out there, because, hey, those Bibles are going to show where he got the idea. They're going to show the truth. And so part of that whole scheme was, in the kids in the schools, they would say to the kids, here's this really great book. Have you ever seen one of these? And they'd have one, and they'd show it to the kids, and they'd say, you know, we were wondering, have you ever seen one of these in your home? And you know, little kids are innocent. Well, if you have ever seen one in your home, we'd really like to know about it. So come tell us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the next thing you know, as soon as they tell them, yeah, I saw one of those on my mom and dad's shelf, you know. They'd be busting in the door while the kids at school, confiscating the Bible and the parents, you know. And so that was, that all had to be part of the plan. So you see that played out in that little micro system there in this little country, this horrible evil. That's what the whole worldwide system is going to look like at that time. And I mean, people are going to be horribly persecuted. And anybody who won't worship that beast or take on this mark is going to be killed. They're going to be tortured. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that Antichrist, other Christ, he's going to be saying, I'm the Christ. I'm the second coming. I've come back. And people that don't know the word, they you know, they're not living by the power of the Holy Spirit, maybe don't have the Holy Spirit in them. It's going to be easy to be deceived by this, because he's going to be doing like he's got this wound. He's dead, but he's alive again. You got this other one that sets up this image and is speaking and everything else. You know, you're going to have all these false miracles happening, and anybody that really isn't in Christ is going to just fall right into it. Sister? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. We're like defying all reason, getting, and I think here's the thing, okay? So we got to remember, Jesus said nobody knows the day or the hour. Yeah, that's true. We're going to know the season by the signs, but if nobody knows the day or the hour except for the Father in heaven, who does that include in that equation? Satan doesn't know the day or the hour. So I think what Satan is doing is he's constantly putting somebody up there who could fall into this mold when the time comes. And so he's constantly pouring his energy into these different world leaders that he can get under his sway, like Adolf Hitler, like, you know, Nero and Diocletian and you know, just so on and so forth. Maybe even President Obama. I don't know, you know. And some would say others. All I'm saying is he pours some of what he has, some of his energy into these guys that he can get under his sway. Karl Marx. And Karl Marx, don't... Marxism, you know, communism, don't make any mistakes about it. That guy actually dedicated his book to Satan, his father. So I'm just telling you, he was totally a Satanist. He grew up in Christianity but didn't receive Christ and wound up falling totally to the other side and worshiping Satan and setting up a system that would please Satan. Who do you think was behind that? Setting this man up, that if that would have been the day and the time, I believe he'd have stepped right up to the challenge. You get what I'm saying? So I think Satan is constantly kind of imposing his person who could be that Antichrist when the time comes. Because he don't have a clue. He's like us. He don't have a clue of the day or the hour. We might be able to see some of the signs and times, and he may even be sometimes saying, I don't know, maybe I'm just trying to kind of read his mind. He may be sometimes saying, hey, it could be now. I better push more energy into good old Adolf. He's totally sold out to me. You know what I'm saying? Boy, and I mean the hatred just like was just flowing out of that guy all the time, you know. He was just incited with hatred. How about, you know, some of these leaders that are so racist even today? Boy, I mean, if they could be given a world, boy, I mean, they would destroy. There is no two ways about it. How about ISIS leaders, you know, give one of them the world? What would they do? My goodness, they would have no problem with killing all the Christians in the world, you know. Yeah, I mean, they're all about it. They're so deceived by the same Satan who's always trying to manipulate and get it ready for the time. And, you know, I think, in his own demented, weird mind, he knows the scripture as well, but I still think he thinks there might be just a chance that he might be able to somehow or another get ahead in this. You know what I'm saying? It's just part of his evil nature. He is a deceiver, but yeah. Yeah. And even Saul of Tarsus was caught under that sway, right? For a time. And God set him free. I think so. Jesus dying on the cross was like his greatest moment, I believe. But at the same time, it was to his destruction. But he's just so demented, Satan is. He's so bent on evil. It's part of who he is. You know? You hear those jokes about the alligator that goes, how's it go? The animal that winds up biting the one that's helping them and killing them, and to their own destruction. And when they're questioned, why did you do that? It's just who I am. It's just what I do. You know, it's just my nature, and that's what it is. You know, and make no mistake about it, human's nature, even without Satan in the equation, a human's nature winds up to do bad. If we're given over to our own natural man, the natural man will do bad. I think that's what this whole millennial reign is going to be about. It's going to prove out, even with Satan out of the equation, man still has the ability to sin on his own. God is not unjust in punishing man for his sins. We deserve it. And apart from him, we have no goodness. I mean, really, honestly. We can say, boy, that's really a good man, or that's really a good woman. But we want to remember, the only thing that's really good in them is what God puts in them, right? And sometimes that goodness shows through even before they become a Christian. So, like, there's some general grace of God that pours out into everybody. But if it wasn't for God, can you imagine how evil the world would be? Think about it. It would be a horrible, horrible place. And so people that are dreaming of a godless utopia are actually so far from any truth that we could ever imagine. You know, these atheists that just want to see a utopia built because of a godless society, it's not going to be a utopia. It's going to be like hell, you know, without God, his goodness. And so we see here that the deception is great. The deception is huge. And I think the reason why we have seen so many that would kind of start to begin to fit in this mold, and people keep wondering, I wonder if that was the one, if that was the one in history. I think it's because, again, Satan doesn't know the time or the hour. He's just getting ready for it all the time. And like Brother Bill said, I think he is just so demented, he thinks somehow or another he maybe could change the outcome of things. Brother Bill? Yeah. 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 Take that mark upon yourself. Yeah. So the stage is set for that to begin to happen, even just in that area of life. And again, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I can see where the true Antichrist would use a system like that without a doubt. You know, there's the higher echelon of world rulers. There's many of them that are incorporated together in a desire to see a one world government. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your identity would be in that RFID chip or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Beep, bleep, beep. Yeah. And there ain't no fool in the scanner either. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we just need to realize that Satan's always scheming and always trying to push toward that thing of him being in control. Is just basically his nature. He's always putting people up there. And if I could tell you all the different people in our lifetime that have been part of that push for one world government, some of them you'd probably go, yeah, I can believe that. And some of them you'd probably go, wow, really? You know? Our presidents, many of them, President Clinton, big time. Al Gore was a big time. Both of the Bushes who were in the presidency were big time into the world government thing, one world order. President Obama's been big into that. One that I can say so far that isn't real big on that, and it's part of what makes him really unpopular, is Donald Trump. He thinks we ought to be a sovereign nation. And he's very unpopular for it. You know, his idea with having the wall and all that stuff, and it makes everybody so mad. Well, what country doesn't have some kind of protection on their border? You know, honestly. So, you know, I'm not really upset with him on that, even though I love the Mexican people. I'm very much in outreach to the Mexican people. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying if you come in here, you come in legally or don't come in, you know. I don't have a problem with that. And, you know, so nonetheless, you know, he's really unpopular for that, and it actually might be a pretty good sign that he isn't the Antichrist because he's not wanting to blend with the rest of the world and take it all under one government. A passport. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not everybody's loving Donald. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, you get to vote without an ID too. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I really don't understand why anybody would be upset about it, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah. All assimilated into the culture here and embraced the culture. We said we come because we love America and we want to be American, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same desire, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were all immigrants, yeah. 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 Well, as long as they can come legally like our ancestors did with a love for the country, I agree with them, but yeah. Try to do it legally, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just sharing. Assimilate. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. That lady that I was telling you about whenever we were talking about the get-together yesterday, Shelley's cousin met a lady who is in the same trade as him, and she's from Canada, and she's so excited to be able to become an American. You know, it's not like she hates America and she's coming down here begrudgingly, you know, and she has to jump through the hoops. Like, she's excited about going through the legal process. They've already started that legal process, and to be an American citizen, you know. And it was just really refreshing to talk to her, you know, and hear her love for our country, you know. I mean, like, I felt less love for our country from the Canadian pastors I spent time with, you know. At least one of them was just so proud of Canada and kind of hateful toward America, you know. He feels like that we're just really blowing it down here, even in our attitudes about standing on biblical values, you know. And I don't know, you know. At the end, he... Yeah, It's true. You know, you have both. I love the people of the world. But I think to immigrate into a country, you should respect their borders, respect their laws, and do it legally. I mean, I don't see any other way. Yeah. You really had to respect their space, that little fence, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Brother? Those two didn't eat the crickets, so. That's funny. Yep. You got it. When in Rome, right? You got to do as Romans. All right. Well. Yeah, it does. There's some definite similarities there. It's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be interesting to see the clarity into the scripture, as we will really be able to see for sure. And I'm sure at times we're going to go, wow, I didn't know it meant that. That's amazing, you know. And we're just going to spend all of eternity being amazed at God. But thank God that he gave us enough that we can find our way to Jesus, clearly, and we can find our way through this and to know some of the things to look for as well. And so I just be honest with you, anything the world throws out there that's anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, if we're just standing on solid ground of Jesus Christ and rejecting it all the way, we're not going to be falling down worshiping any image of a beast. We're not going to be getting any marks. So, you know, we're just going to be following Jesus. We're going to be saying no. Just like the baker that won't bake the cake and, whatever. The florist that it goes against their conscience. They just won't do it. They don't care what they find them. They just won't do it, you know. And I think that's where we need to be as well. Just like the Christians that are not bowing down to Allah and reciting the five main tenets of Islam, you know, and they're suffering consequences in this life, but they know that they're going to be in glory. And so that's where we got to be as well. Just stay like that, we're going to be fine. And you know what's awesome is we're going to see a harvest as we go too. That's the cool thing, you know. Getting to see signs of that in my wife's family yesterday, just like we have been, you know, honest with them and talking about Jesus. And sometimes they haven't felt real loving toward that. They know where we stand. There's no doubt about it. And we're getting to see just one by one, people are being let out of that. And so we want to praise God toward Jesus, you know, for that. It's so cool. It's so awesome. And sometimes it takes great painful trials for them to go through, you know, just like it has with many of us as well. But the cool thing is, if they know the message, when they get in that painful trial, they can have a compass to find their way to Jesus then, you know. And if they still have relationship with us, they're going to know that they can go to us and ask as well and have us pray with them. So that's just where we find ourselves. So let's live this life to the fullest. And as world leaders change and Satan positions and postures and all this stuff, hey, Jesus is our shelter. We're just going to stick with him. He'll always get us to the right end. So let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I just pray that you'll help us, Lord, to have clarity in how to follow you from day to day. And Lord, I really believe by this point in time that we're looking at here that the church we're associated with probably isn't even going to be in the equation at that point. But there is going to be a church. And it's going to be ones that were brought to belief through the trials. And they're going to be refined through this process, and they're going to stand faithful and firm to the end, because the same Holy Spirit that strengthens us is going to be the Holy Spirit that strengthens them. Lord, we know we have our own list of challenges. I think the greatest challenge the Americans have is not to fall into worldliness and all the things that the world offers, that we can just keep our eyes on you and stay grounded in you and say no to the world, the worldly way of doing things, and just live for you while we still have an opportunity. And Lord, I pray you'll give us a great harvest, and we'll get to see many people come to know you because of the faith that we live out as an example and a witness to them, and our physical witness whenever we speak to them as well. Lord, thank you for what you're doing right now. And I just pray for this group that's here that's been faithful to come. I pray that you would bless them, strengthen them. May your face shine upon them and use them in this week to come, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming.